Next is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 5th Chapter, text number 34, given on July 28, 1993, at Inishrath, Ireland.
Translation. Thus all the universes remained thousands of eons within the water, the causal ocean, and the Lord of living beings, entering in each of them, caused them to be fully animated. Purport. The Lord is described here as the Jiva because he is the leader of all other Jivas. In the Vedas, he is described as the Nitya, the leader of all other Nityas. The Lord's relation with the living entities is like that of the Father with the sons. The sons and the Father are qualitatively equal, but the Father is never the Son, nor is the Son ever the Father who begets. So, as described above, the Lord as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, or Hiranyagarbha Supersoul, enters into each and every universe and causes it to be animated by begetting the living entities within the womb of the material nature, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14.3. After each annihilation of the material creation, all the living entities are merged within the body of the Lord, and after creation they are again impregnated within the material energy. In material existence, therefore, the material energy is seemingly the mother of the living entities and the Lord is the Father. When, however, the animation takes place, the living entities revive their own natural activities under the spell of time and energy, and thus the varieties of living beings are manifested. The Lord, therefore, is ultimately the cause of all animation in the material world. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatadi Satarane. So in this chapter, Narada Muni is asking questions of his father, Lord Brahma. In the beginning, he humbly approached his father, Lord Brahma, and said that you appear to be yourself the sole creator. What is the source of your knowledge? I think you have no source but yourself. But sometimes I see you're practicing austerities and meditation. So is there a greater Lord than yourself? So Lord Brahma very honestly stated that he was not the Supreme, but that he draws his creative energy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Then he begins to explain the facts of creation, how all the different ingredients of the material world come together and how they evolve under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his energy, through his agents, and so on. And in this particular purport, Prabhupada discusses about animation, that the living beings who are all, those especially who have the means to move by feet or wings or something, they're animated. Then there are inanimate living beings, which are also living creatures, like trees that can't move, although they move within a small ability to grow up and reach over and so on. So all of this movement takes place, what to speak of the general movement or activity that's allowed within the material world by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Each spirit soul, he's self-moving because he's a spark of the Lord. But we cannot start up the creation or start up all the activities. We have no knowledge of this. It's very, very limited. So this is described, these movements that take place over the eons from the time of annihilation, long period of sleeping, and then waking again, things being activated. In all these different descriptions, whether it's what are the ingredients of matter and life, how is it begun, how is it maintained, how is it destroyed, how is it re-begun, the point always is to understand the connection to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His supremacy in all of this, His direction, and our need to surrender to Him. So these are Krishna's activities, actually, what we hear about in the material world, His activities in the external energy. There's particular reference here to Garbhodakshay Vishnu. Well, there are three Purusha avatars, or Vishnus, and they're transcendental, but they are in touch with the matter. So these are Krishna's expansions, and their activities are within in relation to the external energy. Earlier in this volume, in the previous chapter, Prabhupada writes a purport about how a devotee is interested in whatever Krishna does, whether it's in the material or spiritual energy. I'll read that. The Lord's pastimes in the internal potency are displayed in His activities in Vrindavan, but His external potential works are directed in His features of Karnanavashayi Vishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, and Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti offers his good counsel to the interested Vaishnavas when he says that they should not be interested in hearing only about the Lord's activities like Rasa Leela, but must be keenly interested in His pastimes and His features of the Purusha avatars in connection with the Srishti Tattva, creational functions. Following the examples of Maharaj Parikshit, the ideal disciple, and Shukadeva Goswami, the ideal spiritual master. So Maharaj Parikshit wasn't thinking that, hurry up and tell me about the spiritual energy right away, because I don't have so long to live. I don't have time to go hear all these other things. But he wanted to hear everything about Krishna. But since we are transcendentalists and we're not interested in the material world as such, we're interested in going this back to Godhead, why are we interested in all these details of creation, or why are we interested in the Vishnus? There's one direct reply to this in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita 7.4 is a brief description of Bhumar Apo Nalo Vayu Kammano Buddha Evacha Ahankari Tiyame Bina Prakriti Rashtata of the material elements. These, Krishna says, are my material elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, intelligence, mind, false ego. This is my material energy. And then I have a spiritual energy. So in 7.4 purport, Prabhupada, following the commentaries of Baladeva Bijabhusan, he describes the activities of these three Vishnus. And we know that the first one, who's an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna from Baladeva, is Mahavishnu. And from his gigantic body comes forth all the universes, first in the seed form, and then they expand. And then into each expanded universe goes Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And from him, from his body, on a lotus stem, Lord Brahma is born, and he brings about the creation, secondary creation. And then the Lord expands as Kshirodakshay Vishnu in everyone's heart, and in his own planet, in the material world, Svaitadvip, and he's the source of the incarnations. So these are described briefly, with a quote in 7.4 Bhagavad Gita from Satvata Tantra. And it ends that anyone who knows these three Vishnus can be liberated from material entanglement. So this is an explanation why we're interested. Because knowledge of the Purusha avatars can bring you freedom from bondage of birth and death. We want to become God conscious and take shelter in Krishna. But so to do this, we need education in what is God, how God is great. And especially for materialists, it is necessary to understand his greatness in connection with the material world. If we just hear about his activities in the spiritual world, we're liable to make a mistake and think, he sounds like an ordinary boy or extraordinary boy, but I don't see how he is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when we understand that this Krishna is the source of the Vishnus who bring about creation, understand how God is great from the same Vedic literature that teaches us his spiritual pastimes, then we won't make that mistake. So this is an important reason for understanding the Lord in relation to the material energy. Having said that, however, it's also a fact that the Lord's activities in the spiritual energy, in the internal energy, they're superior. Of course, everything is absolute that Krishna does. But how are they superior? Well, for example, Krishna himself, in his original form, he doesn't take part in the activities of the material world. That's done by his Vishnus. So in the Lord's activities in the material nature, we don't hear the pastimes of Krishna. In the nectar of devotion, there are 64 qualities given of Krishna. The living being, he can have 78% of those in part, and then, which is Lord Brahma's qualification. And then Lord Shiva, he has a few more qualifications, up to 84%. Then the Narayan, or Vishnu expansions, they have some 90-something percent. But again, there are qualities that are reserved only for Sri Krishna in his confidential spiritual pastimes in Vrindavan. This desire of the devotees to not skip over to hear everything about the Lord in the material energy, but to want even more to hear about the Lord in the spiritual energy, is expressed at different times in the Bhagavatam by the disciple to the spiritual master. One time is also in the second canto, in the chapter 10, Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. This second canto in particular has got so much information about creation and the universal form, a lot of called technical information. And so Maharaj Pariksit is imbibing this, and or there's a dialogue within that of Narada hearing from Brahma, and then sometimes, well, in the third canto we have Vidura. But in the second canto, after hearing a lot of information, then there's this verse. The great transcendental... I skipped some. I have two of them. So the first one I'll read is from the third canto. And this is the dialogue between Vidura and Maitreya. So the disciple says, O my Lord, I have repeatedly heard about these higher and lower statuses of human society from the mouth of Vyasadeva, and I am quite satiated with all these lesser subject matters and their happiness. They have not satisfied me with the nectar of topics about Krishna. And Prabhupada says in the purport, Vidura explained to Maitreya that he had heard enough of this. Also, this includes not only the creation, but social teachings. There's a lot of this in the Mahabharata. Long discourses about dharma, varnashram dharma, how to live as a religious person in this material world. So this is very important for karmis. Karmis meaning religious persons in the material world. What are your duties? But the transcendentalists, you don't draw so much satisfaction from these talks. It's because the talks are all right, but the absence of Krishna Katha. So Vaidura is telling Maitreya, I'm anxious to hear transcendental topics regarding Lord Sri Krishna. Because there were insufficient topics directly concerning Krishna in the Puranas and Mahabharata, he was not satisfied. He wanted to know more about Krishna. Krishna Katha, or topics regarding Krishna, are transcendental, and there is no satiation in hearing such topics. And he mentions the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam as sources of these. And then, in the second canto also, this verse, 2:10:44, the great transcendentalists thus describe the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the pure devotees deserve to see more glorious things in transcendence beyond these features. So it's kind of like when you go to school or university, you have to, especially in college, you have to first, at least in America, take all required subjects that everyone has to take. And some of them may not be very tasteful to you, but it's part of general education. You cannot become a college graduate unless you know something about, say, if you're a liberal arts person, you still have to know something about science and something about math. And if you're a scientist, you ought to know at least something about literature and so on. But then, after a couple of years of that, then you can specialize, and your real contribution will be, and your real enlivenment is to be trained up in your desired subject. So, the devotees here are explaining that I've heard about it and I want to hear something more. But you have to hear about it first. I remember when I was a college freshman in the English class, and the first thing is, especially since in high school there's not such good training, is to see if you know grammar, English grammar. So we were going over grammar week after week after week, and it seemed so boring and needless. And because in one sense we already know grammar, you know, because we have our mother tongue, we know how to speak, but you have to learn all these laws. And so I remember one day I asked the professor, are we going to read any literature? She said, yes, of course, but first you have to learn this. So a student, he knows a little bit about what this subject matter is. There are all these great authors, there's all this poetry and novels and literature. When are we going to get into this nectar? Oh, you wait. You first have to understand the language and become, you can't go in like a half-literate into this advanced subject matter. So it's like that. They're both justified. The restless, intelligent student is it's a good sign that he knows there's something more than this elementary, and he wants to, let's get on with it. But the teacher is also good to restrain him. That's all right. It's very good that you're eager, but actually you're not fully equipped yet. When you become proficient in this, then you'll be able to understand what's coming next. This verse says, the pure devotees deserve to see more glorious things in transcendence beyond these features. So what is that more glorious thing? Prabhupada says in the purport, the Lord is not only the creator and the destroyer of the material manifestations of his different energies. He's more than a simple creator and destroyer, for there is his feature of ananda. So ananda is absent in the activities of the material creation. That may be one reason we feel a little tiresome hearing all about the evolution of matter and so on. That we don't hear of any of the Lord being blissful or the devotees being blissful. And that's the real desire of every living being, anandamaya abhyasa. This pleasure feature of the Lord is understood by the pure devotees only and not by others. So the impersonalists, they don't know ananda. They don't know God at all. So they think, they and the Buddhists who are so similar, they think all kinds of ananda are just maya, just material happiness. They want to cease all that, enter nothingness, or Brahman. But the devotees, they want to enter the pleasure potency. The impersonalist is satisfied simply by understanding the all-pervasive influence of the Lord. This is called Brahman realization. Greater than the impersonalist is the mystic, who sees the Lord situated in his heart as Paramatma, the partial representation of the Lord. So sometimes when there's yoga described in the Bhagavatam, we get a little restless also, because we know, well, we're not going to practice this anyway, because it's not possible to practice yoga in Kali Yuga. And the goal of yoga is the Paramatma. So what is the point of memorizing all the stages in yoga? We're not going to practice it. But it's good to know, at least the theoretic knowledge. And it's also good to want to go beyond it. And we go beyond it in bhakti yoga so directly. Someone may say, following up that analogy about you have to get qualified in school before you go on, they could say, well, unless you practice yoga and see the Lord in your heart, unless you understand all-pervading Brahman by these rigorous methods, you cannot understand Bhagavan. But that the bhakti process does not agree with that. And yoga means you have to go through the bodily conception to understand how within this body the soul is there on the air currents, where it's located, how to control it and raise it and so on. It's based on the on an attachment to the bodily conception. But if you take the path of hearing from authority, as Prabhupada so nicely and simply describes, you can immediately get knowledge. The idea is to get knowledge by one path or another. So one path of knowledge is to work very hard for it within the bodily concept. And another is to hear from a person who can give it to you. So why not take it? If the goal is to get the knowledge, you can get it very directly. But you have to trust the person. You have to hear from a perfect person. And that person is Krishna and the Shastras. So it goes immediately to the transcendental platform, to the spiritual intelligence. To a person who can hear submissively, and he also hears higher topics, and his heart becomes pure, which is necessary by this hearing. Therefore, it's not necessary to go all the steps or walking up the 150 flights of the skyscraper by foot. You can go by express bhakti yoga. There are so some people are fixed in yoga and paramatma and learning about the material creation. But there are pure devotees who take part in the direct pleasure, ananda potency of the Lord by factual reciprocation of loving service. The Lord in his abode, called the Vaikuntha planets, which are eternal manifestations, always remains with his associates and enjoys transcendental loving services by his pure devotees in different transcendental humors. The pure devotees of the Lord thus undergo a practice of that devotional service to the Lord during the manifestation of the creation and take full advantage of the manifestation by qualifying themselves to enter into the kingdom of God. So there's a creation given that we're all living within the creation. This material world was created, created manifestation. Now it's existing. So what? What do you do in the creation? Someone will say, well, you eat and you sleep and you mate and you defend and you You live and you try to be happy during the manifestation. But the devotees say, that's not the purpose of the creation. Or the scientists and Gyani who say, we should study the creation. What is it? What are the details of the creation? But the devotee says, during this creation, I want to take advantage of the human form of life and develop my eternal relationship with Krishna and go back to Godhead. By development of pure devotional service, one can factually know the Lord as he is and thus be trained in the bona fide service of the Lord and be allowed to enter into the direct association of the Lord in so many capacities. The highest glorious association with the Lord is made possible in the planet of Goloka Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna enjoys himself with the gopis and his favorite animals, the Surabhi cows. This is described in Brahma Samhita. I lost my place. What is the verse today? 34. I think I'll stop here for questions. Anyone have any questions? Yes. The realization of Paramatma is of the localized representation of Krishna. It's said that by Brahman realization you know the knowledge potency, chit. By knowing Paramatma you know, Brahman you know existence, eternality, sat. Paramatma you know sat and chit, but only with Bhagavan you know sat, chit, and ananda. So the ananda is the pastimes of Krishna. So Paramatma is not the Lord with his devotees and his pastimes in the spiritual planets. It's the Lord coming to the material world in a kind of neutral capacity to be in everyone's heart, to give them intelligence and memory and so on, be with them, sustain the creation. But so the ananda is missing, or the ananda of the pastimes, and for that you need Bhagavan realization. They can perform devotional service. Usually the yogis do not perform devotional service beyond, at best, shanti, or the adoring and worshipping the greatness of the Lord in his Paramatma feature. But with more affection, the devotees want to serve the Lord in his pastime activities. I don't know, I had a hand, but... It's included. We're trying to understand Krishna directly, and so bit by bit we're understanding Krishna without first trying to understand his impersonal feature. So as we understand Krishna, we understand the effulgence of Krishna. But we're not interested in it. There's that verse, Prabhupada Saraswati, he says, Kevalya Narakate. The bliss, there is a kind of bliss, certainly, of Brahman realization, that I am eternal, I'm spirit. And so that's usually called, or the bliss of yoga. But say the bliss of impersonal realization, it's called Kaivalya. So he says, Kaivalya Narakate. Nara is hell. To me, the realization of Brahman is hell. He doesn't see it as all blissful, it's something to avoid. Because where's Krishna? Where's Radha? Where the Surabhi cows? Nothing is there. Just effulgence, eternal. So he says, without Krishna, eternally, that's hell. So yes, it's included, but he doesn't want to spend time in exclusive realization of Brahman without Krishna.